Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
He meets God, who is an African-American woman, Jesus, who is a Jewish man, and the Holy Spirit, who is an Asian woman. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
New Agers want to be able to create religions that will make them feel good.
It's Jefferson and Madison and Franklin talking from the grave through me.
If you're a religious person, you understand that once religion takes hold in a society, it can't be stopped.
Well, I know that with the election of President Obama, the hopes of many, especially those of the pro-choice forces, rose. They remain high, but a bit attenuated. After all, he seemed to have compromised on some things like family planning funding. Now, it's often said that what we need is kind of the pragmatic approach to step forward with the new president on the issue of life and the debate over life's value and abortion and things like that, and try and reduce the number of abortions pragmatically rather than taking the ideological approach of eliminating abortion. And after all, who's in favor of abortion? Everyone would like to reduce the numbers. Is this the way to go? We'll be answering that question with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse here in the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Wednesday. It's the 4th of February. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email your questions or comments to us right here in the studio. Talkback at issuesetc.org. We'll be looking at Ellen Goodman's latest column on family planning with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse for the first few minutes. Then Greg Smith of the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life in Washington, D.C. will join us. We'll talk about the landmark survey and its findings on African Americans and religion. Then we'll conclude our series with Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute, part five of Bad Ways to Argue About Abortion Today, Disguising Your True Position by Appealing to the Hard Cases. That's coming up in about a half hour. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest, director of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Ellen Goodman calls for pragmatism over ideology. What does she mean, and are we likely to get pragmatism free of ideology with the Obama administration when it comes to the issue of abortion and family planning?
Well, what she means is that now that our side has won, we need to stop talking about ideology. I mean, that's basically what she means. Now that the pro-choice side has a president and a Congress favorable to their views, it's now time to put aside ideology and just do what the majority says to do, which means their majority. So that's not much of a statement on her part. Her column that you were referring to, she talks about abstinence education and family planning and those things being political footballs, and she's certainly correct about that. They get batted back and forth literally every session of Congress. They go back and forth. And I think that a lot of the pro-life people would be much less upset about these issues if we weren't already being outspent by the government on at a ratio of some 12 to 1. That is, the federal government spends $12 on contraception and contraception education for every $1 that it spends on abstinence education. If those figures, if the government would just get out of the business completely, I think most pro-lifers would go home happy on this issue.
Well, I'm wondering whether or not there's going to be inevitable compromise on the part of President Obama, because political realities, even for someone who has apparently pro-choice majorities, or perhaps close to them, already he's had to the chagrin of Ellen Goodman, back down on family planning outside the United States, funding that.
Yes, and the other thing he backed down on was whether or not contraception counts as part of a stimulus package. Whether, you know, does contraception count as stimulating the economy? I mean, honestly, Todd, we've talked about this before on this program, but the advocates of family, so-called family planning, the advocates of what I would call the contraceptive ideology, they believe that every problem practically can be solved if you just had enough condoms. I call that ideology condomism. If we just had enough condoms, we could end world hunger, we could end poverty, we could end global warming, and now, thanks to Nancy Pelosi, we find that we can also even stimulate the economy if we just had enough condoms. You know, people are kind of tired of that, and I think the real problem here is that we have a moral issue that we're trying to solve with a technological solution. And to me, that's the biggest disconnect that we have going in public policy in this area.
I want to come back to that in just a moment because that's a brilliant point. But staying with Nancy Pelosi for a moment and Ellen Goodman, in her column, Score One for Ideologies, Women's Health Reframed as Pork, she is not even willing to step up to the plate and say that Pelosi was right. She's kind of hedges her bets and says, well, I don't know if family planning is really going to help the economy. I don't know if it's part of a stimulus. Although Nancy Pelosi made it sound like it was one of the major planks of stimulus.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, and you know what Ellen Goodman has done there in the thing that you quoted is that she's redefined federally financed contraception as somehow crucial to women's health, and you know that in itself is a major sleight of hand for a lot of reasons. You know, I mean, there are many aspects of women's health that have nothing to do with contraception or family planning, So you know, these women are trying to promote a whole ideology of human sexuality without coming out and naming it. And what the ideology is that every adult is entitled to any and all sexual activity as long as they can give meaningful consent to it. If you're old enough to meaningfully consent, you're entitled to unlimited sexual activity without a live baby resulting. That's what they're promoting, is sexual activity as an entitlement without any other questions asked, without any other aspects of morality coming into it. That's what's being promoted. And that, I think, is what has a lot of people upset, because a lot of people would say, look, human sexuality means a great many things within the context of a society. And when you say that sex is an entitlement, you're upsetting the whole balance of the relationship between men and women, the relationship of marriage to society, the relationship of sexuality to marriage and childbearing to marriage. All of those things are being changed by this kind of subtle redefinition of what counts as people's lawful entitlements. Now, you know, if people want to have sex, people can have sex. That's not what's at stake. Anybody can have sex anytime they want to. The issue is, are you entitled to expect that every sexual act will come without a baby attached to it? And the fact of the matter is that all contraceptive methods fail sometimes, right? And so if you're having sex in a context that can't possibly support a pregnancy or a live birth, then the very carelessness of your choice of sex partner and context around sex, that itself is driving the demand for abortion, because you know that some of the time the contraception you're using is going to fail. No one uses it perfectly, Todd. There are always failures of contraception, unless you're talking about the really intrusive kinds of contraception that include things like Norplant and the injectables and those kinds of things, which once they're into your system, you can't get them out of your system. So those are very, those kinds of contraceptions are not for everybody. And in fact, for some people, they're out and out dangerous. And once they're in your system, you can't get them out. You know, if you decide you want to get an injectable and you have a bad reaction to it, you can't do anything about it. It's in your system for the next 3 months, you know. So that is a piece of this picture that nobody really wants to talk about, is the fact that contraceptive failure is a reality, and what we have is abortion as our method for dealing with contraceptive failure. And so the more you have people using contraception, in a sense, you are promoting the demand for abortion through doing that.
Let's take a quick call from St. Louis. Ruth is on the line. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. You know, Dr. Rebecca Morse, I just love you. I love everything you say. I have a question.
All right. Well, thank you, Ruth. I love you, too. That's nice of you. I named my institute after you.
Oh, well, there you go. is monogamy possible in a culture? And I ask this because I've talked to missionaries who live overseas, and it just the adultery rate is just through the sky. The average couple has 7 partners after they get married in certain countries. And I mean, honestly, the couples I know that were both virgins when they got married, I can name on both my hands. Mm-hmm. Is this just impossible? Are we promoting the impossible dream?
Ruth, it's a good question. You got about 30 seconds to respond, Jennifer.
Well, there's no doubt that the culture around you can sustain or deter your commitment to monogamy. But the fact is that a primarily monogamous culture, that is a culture where monogamy is the expectation and by and large the norm, that is possible. That has existed in the United States of America within living memory. And yes, there are always people who mess around on the side. But what is new in our time is the societal acceptance of that as if we were entitled to that, and as if the injured party were the person who has done what they wanted and is all of a sudden facing negative consequences. You know, it used to be possible. It used to be known that it was possible, and the fact is, it is possible again. And lifelong monogamy is the thing that is going to make people happy, men, women, and children alike.
Okay, with only about 20 seconds, make the case that the state has an interest in promoting monogamy.
Well, the state has an interest in promoting the attachment of children to both of their biological parents, and the child has an entitlement to a relationship with both of their parents, and that's an entitlement that children can't enforce by themselves. They need to have the help of the whole culture in order to support their right to be in relationship with both parents, and therefore it's the state that needs to do that. And monogamy is by far the simplest way to get kids attached to both parents and to have a commitment of support from both of those parents.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, thanks for being our guest.
You're very welcome.
We got a link to the Ruth Institute. She's director of the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand to find that link. When we come back, Greg Smith of the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life will talk about African Americans and religion. Stay tuned.
So, what are your plans for Valentine's weekend? Sitter for the kids, dinner for two, champagne, roses, or maybe you don't have any plans. How about spending that time with your brothers? The Brothers of John the Steadfast, that is. Our first national conference is on the 13th and 14th of February in Naperville, Illinois. Featured speakers are Pastor Todd Wilkin from Issues Etc. and Chris Roseborough. For more info, check us out on the web, www.steadfastlutherans.org.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.